Hello, everybody. Josh Brown here, back for another great episode on Franchise Euphoria. Well, today's episode is brought to you by IndieFranchiseLaw.com, a leading resource in the franchise space to help you if you're considering buying a franchise, turning your business into a franchise, or growing your business through a licensing or franchise structure. So go on, check it out, IndieFranchiseLaw.com. I think you'll find a lot of valuable and free information as you continue to kind of weigh franchising and licensing and the growth of your business. Without further ado, I hope you enjoy today's episode. So today's guest on Franchise Euphoria, I had a chance to hear on a panel at the International Franchise Association Conference. Her name is Jamie Stigliana, and she owns a franchise company called Diva Dance Company, and she is the franchisor, and she started it back in 2015, and she just brings so much energy, so much know-how, passion, enthusiasm to the table, and you will get a great sense of a founder story in this particular interview where, you know, I had the opportunity to sit down with Jamie at the conference and talk to her about how she came up with the idea for her franchise system, what it's been like growing that system, and how she's gone about that process. So without further ado, enjoy this interview with Jamie.
All right, here at IFA Conference in Orlando, I'm here with Jamie, and I'm going to butcher this name. Stigliana?
You nailed it.
I nailed it. Okay. And you are a franchisor. You created Diva Dance. Tell us all about Diva Dance.
Sure. Yeah. So we are dance choreography classes for adults. So no kids classes, only for adults. And I started the concept after I left a very stressful class in New York City at an awesome place called Broadway Dance Center. It's amazing. It trains dancers to be backup dancers and Broadway bound. But I wasn't trying to do that. I was just trying to have fun. So I walked out of that class and I said, you know what, I'm going to start teaching my own classes the way I want to do it, which will inspire confidence and help people build community. And that was a long time ago with my hobby business and just started franchising it 3 years ago.
Yeah. And you have a background in music, right?
Yeah, so I worked in the music industry for over 15 years, mostly within the Sony Music System. So I contributed to the careers of some of the biggest artists and divas in the business, like Britney and Pink and Justin Timberlake and Chris Brown and Ciara and lots of those folks. So doing marketing, building brands, creating content to support that, helping them build their fan bases, telling their story, supporting the whole company in terms of marketing assets and really just driving the marketing vision for those projects. So that's my professional background.
So, and you are a full-fledged franchisor at this point. How many franchisees do you have?
So I have two company-owned units, or 18 cities total. I have two company-owned units, and then I have one licensee who just operates our party business in Charleston, and the rest are franchisees.
That's awesome. Charleston, South Carolina?
Yeah.
What's your party business? I got to ask you about that.
Yeah, so we have three kind of big verticals of our company. The first is our class business, which is mostly a membership model, recurring revenue, all that yummy stuff. And our second is our party business. So that's bachelorette parties, birthday parties, girls' night out, team building, mom's night out, and then where they come together and learn dance choreography for an hour, and usually there's some wine or champagne involved. And then our third one is we do multi-week programs. So we allow women to take classes over a period of time, add on to it, and then perform in a recital at the end, just like little girls get to do.
That's awesome. And is that all part of the franchise opportunity?
It is, yeah. So when you're buying into making the investment in Diva Dance, you're getting that business, and we're helping you build all three of those verticals.
Okay, so if I'm listening to this, and we'll start with the franchisor side. I'm a business. I'm looking to turn myself into a franchise. One of the things that I know from doing so many of these interviews on this podcast is that it's very helpful for people to hear from other people who have gone through that process. Yeah. Tell us a little bit, if you can, think back when you decided to not only create this business, but then take that leap into becoming a franchise company. What was that decision like? And then once you did make that leap, how was that?
Sure. So I had really two choices. I knew I wanted to scale this. I knew it was too good. It was too fun. It was something that, you know, women needed. So I knew I needed to get it to other cities, but I didn't know how. And so the first option was, I'll go to these cities and I'll fire instructors and I'll train them over a weekend and then we'll just off you go. But then I did a mentoring phone call with a guy named Dan Mizritsky, who's the founder of Fitness on the Go, a fitness franchise in Canada that's similar to us, doesn't have a brick and mortar. So I did a mentoring phone call with him, and he said, you really should franchise this. And then that's when I was like, wait, that's a thing I could do.
You're like, what's a franchise?
Yeah, I mean, I sort of knew because my dad had worked in franchising a bit on the sales side in Waco, Texas, where I grew up. But yeah, so that's when I actually called my dad and I was like, this guy told me I could franchise. What do you think, Dad? And he's like, you know, I got the perfect person to connect you to. So the first thing I did was I had been operating as a hobby business in New York City for many years, but I obviously hadn't been documenting things, right? I hadn't been keeping organized, like, you know, it was my hobby. It was just for fun. It was my hair money. It was my Vegas money. It was my handbag money. It was fun. But then, so when I decided to franchise, I said, you know what, I need to start another unit in a different market and document every single thing that I'm doing. I need to make a lot of mistakes. So I empowered myself to make mistakes. And I did all this simultaneously with my own money while still consulting in the music industry. So I just took on every consulting client I could possibly find, and any, you know, any little retainer I could get here and there, I would take it so that I could use that money to build my franchise. I had to document it by starting a whole new market from scratch. And it was only after I did that one for a year did I feel confident to franchise.
Yeah, because you're now operating at that point in two different locations, and you realize probably for the first time, like many entrepreneurs do, that going from one location to two locations is so difficult because you can only be in one place at one time.
Absolutely. I actually lived in neither city at the time. My husband had been relocated to San Francisco. So the extra bonus point on that is that I was also learning what it's like to manage them remotely and how to find people on the ground, how to build trust with those folks, how to create systems that they could implement so that I wasn't overly a control freak. So I put in little reporting things. And one of the things I implemented was a thing called a post-class report, because after every class, I was texting them saying, how was class? What happened? What'd they say? What'd they do? And I was like, you know what? This is not efficient. And it doesn't make sense. So I created, so it just allowed me by running those remotely to identify what are those systems that I'll need to be able to do this.
And so let's talk about the franchisees for a couple minutes. So for you, for the franchisees who you're working with now, and for those who could potentially be interested, first of all, who is your ideal sort of franchisee avatar? Who's the ideal type of person you want in your system?
Yeah, so I first and foremost I look for values alignment. Do they want to inspire confidence? Do they believe in that? And then do they want to build community? So typically that has drawn me folks that are past dancers that understand what community is like, or past cheerleaders, or, you know, sorority women who are, you know, who that was part of their life. So they understand the power of community and they really want to empower women. So that's the first thing. The second thing I look for is people who have a sales experience, a sales background. The reason for that is because, you know, I think sales is critical to success in life, no matter what it is. But we're a membership model mostly. The foundation of DivaDance is a membership model. So it's very hard for me to partner with folks who aren't, you know, natural salespeople, persuasive, confident, and people who are really bought into the mission. So they have to start with the mission and alignment with that. And then I'm really looking for salespeople in any kind of sales experience. But my top performers in my system, they have sales backgrounds and they've been able to empower their folks on the ground using our tools, but to help them grow that membership base.
And so do you guys operate out of studios, or where are these dance classes and all the other, you know, parts of the franchise? Where's it done?
So what's exciting about us, and which makes it a much lower investment for folks, is we're not brick and mortar. So I know some people listening to this are like, wait, what do you mean? How do you do that then? So what I would do is challenge you to not think about what I'm doing as a place, but an experience. So what we have done is in our various markets everywhere is we've identified partners who have a space with a floor and a mirror that they're not using at certain times. And we rent from those folks, or we form partnerships where it's more of a barter type of relationship. But for the most part, it's a rental. And folks are eager to rent out their space when they're not using it. And you'd be shocked at how many places have a floor and a mirror, and they have about 800 to 1,000 square feet that's just sitting there, a group fitness room, or in a rec center, Jewish community centers, you know, even children's dance studios that maybe they don't have an adult dance program. We have had really a lot of success with those types of relationships. And again, it's made the investment much lower. And I did that, honestly, in New York City out of necessity, because I had a career in the music industry. I wasn't trying to become a dance studio owner. So I had to find places to rent from. And it's just worked. And we've created other elements of the experience with lighting, and have a fragrance we spray in the studio to make it smell the same, and our signage awesome. And the class format is the same. So the experience is very consistent. So it's been a really fun way to do it. And some people are like, I don't understand, but don't you need to have your own dance studio? And I do have one. I have one flagship in Austin that's my training center, and it's our testing ground to see, like, all right, well, if we did have our own spaces, what would that model look like?
Well, it's interesting too because, you know, you're not a fitness place, and so I imagine there's a whole lot of people who may, I don't want to say confuse, but conflate the two a little bit. But with every fitness place, obviously there is a retail space, so that's a little bit easier to differentiate. But I'm curious too because for some franchises, they can be side hustles that are also become full-time business depending on. Did you have that in mind when you created this model?
So originally I was thinking to myself, okay, this is a great side business for a woman because it had been my side business. But the bigger we've gotten and the more success we've had, I've realized that it really is a full-time opportunity. And I used to say like, oh, no, part-time is fine. But when you talk to me about my ideal person, it's someone who can do this full-time either right away or we can have a transition plan because the business can be big. It really is. It's really exciting. And especially because we don't have brick and mortar, the way I've structured the territories empowers our partners to expand within their market to different neighborhoods. And that scoops up more members, you know, women who, you know, they don't want to travel 30 minutes to take your class. So we've been able to scoop up people in other neighborhoods by creatively doing our territory where it's more so based on population. And it's not just a rigid, like, you get this city or you get this, you know, it makes sense based on the neighborhoods they want to operate in. So that's allowed us to grow faster.
Well, I love your branding. I've seen it firsthand, Diva Dance and everything else that goes along with it. So that is very well done. Very, very good job on that. You clearly know who your market is. You clearly know who you're serving. So you are light years ahead of a lot of franchise brands. So congratulations on that.
You.
Jamie, if somebody wants to learn more about Diva Dance, learn more about you, find you, what is the best place for them to go?
Yeah, the best place would be my website, divadancefranchise.com. That's going to give you a page that gives you lots of scoop on what the opportunity is. But even more colorful would be our Instagram, which is at divadancefranchise. On there, you're going to see a lot of stories from me visiting markets, from me training our new partners, to client testimonials. It's the real, like, day-to-day of what it's like to be a boss babe with Diva Dance.
A boss babe. I love it. Thank you so much for coming on. I can say this with certainty. You already have success, but you're going to continue to have great success. Thank you so much for sharing.
Thank you for the opportunity. I really appreciate it.
Thank you so much for tuning in for another episode of Franchise Euphoria. If you enjoyed this episode or have enjoyed the podcast in general, I would really appreciate it if you could go to iTunes and leave me a rating and review. It really helps to get this podcast out to more and more people. So the easy way to do it is go to iTunes and in the search box, put in Franchise Euphoria. You will then see my cover art and you click on my smiling face that says Franchise Euphoria and then click on the link that says ratings and reviews. It's that simple, but boy, oh boy, does it mean the world to me when people leave ratings and reviews. And like I said, it really helps get the show out there. Once again, would love it if you would go to iTunes and leave a rating and review if you enjoyed this episode or other episodes of the show. And until the next time, happy franchising.